The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy, compiled and arranged by David Keaston. Part 5, Third Continuation, Number 227. A lady came to the door at Pleasant View with a box of American Beauty roses and begged Lydia Hall, another of Mrs. Eddy's workers in her home, to accept them and give them to Mrs. Eddy, and say that she would call in the afternoon to see Mrs. Eddy. Lydia waited until the midday meal before bringing them in and showing them to Mrs. Eddy, who gave a wave of her hand and said, "Take them away. What a mockery!" Lydia took them to the kitchen and all day long suffered severely. As night drew on and she was tucking Mrs. Eddy into her swing on the front veranda, no amount of tucking in seemed right, and she had to come back constantly to do it over. Mrs. Eddy finally said, "Lydia, you are suffering and have been suffering all day." She replied, saying, "Yes, mother." Then Mrs. Eddy said, "What have you done with those roses?" "I took them to the kitchen, mother." "Are they destroyed?" "No." "Go to the kitchen immediately and take the roses and put them in the fire." Lydia said that this was a most difficult thing for her to do. However, she complied with Mrs. Eddy's instruction. Immediately, she was released from the pain and was her normal self again. As she came in about an hour later to make preparations for the night, Mrs. Eddy said to her, "You are free?" "Yes, mother, I am." "Lydia, do you know what that means? That was theosophy. They believe that if they can get something into your hands, they can use you as an avenue. Now, be on your watch." From 1 Samuel. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee." And the woman said unto him, "Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?" And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing." Number 228. When I read the chapter in Miscellaneous Writings on Love Your Enemies, a particular experience which our leader had in 1899, and which I recorded, is recalled by which I saw the carrying out of her teaching in that chapter, exemplified in her life. One of her former students, who had manifested great enmity against her and was persecuting her and falsifying her character, was dealt with in the following manner. One morning, as our dear teacher was writing letters, she called me and said, "To whom do you think I have just written?" From the look on her face, I said, "I suppose someone to whom no one else would write." And then she said, "It is so-and-so, Mrs. Josephine Woodbury, and I have invited her to come to see me. I have given her 2 days from which to select the time most convenient to her, and have asked her to telegraph and let me know the day." She read the letter through to me and told me to enclose a stamped telegraph form. I said, "Oh, Mother, how could you write to her when you know she is doing all she can to harm you and not hiding it, but talking about it?" She said to me, "You must learn to love that woman." I said, "Do you love her?" "Yes, and I'm trying to bless her. If you and I do not love her, who can or will?" To that letter, Mrs. Eddy received no reply. When the second day named came, before going out for her drive, she put on her special best dress and ordered the carriage to be at the door to take her for her drive an hour earlier than usual, in order to be home early before her guest arrived. Before leaving, our leader ordered another carriage to be sent to the station to meet her. Just as she was putting on her gloves before entering her carriage, she called me from my writing and said, "Will you promise something?" I said, "Of course I will, if it is something I can do." She said, "If Mrs. Woodbury comes before I return, I want you to greet her kindly." I said, "Yes, Mother, I will." Then she said, "Lovingly?" with a note of interrogation in her voice. My answer was, "I will try." Then she said, "Just heavenly?" I answered, "I will go upstairs and ask God to help me to do that and to show me how." Lastly, she repeated, "Now remember what I say, kindly, lovingly, just heavenly." I went to my room and prayed earnestly to divine love to help me, for as it was right for her to feel that, it was right for me to manifest it. In a short time, I felt such a desire that she should come, and willing to welcome her in the most heavenly way that I knew, because I knew what a blessing there was awaiting her through an interview with our leader, and great good would result. Our leader returned from her drive an hour earlier than usual, and when she got out of her carriage, she said, "Has she come yet?" I said, "No, Mother." "Never mind," she said. "I will wait in the drawing room for her." In the meantime, the carriage had been sent a second and a third time to meet 3 trains in succession. The last time it was late and too dark for her to have come. And our leader sat in her sitting room and said, "Oh, what a benediction of love she would have received. It would have saved and comforted her." I, too, felt sorry for her to have lost such an opportunity and a great blessing. I learned a lesson of love such as I have never forgotten. From Matthew, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. From 1 Peter, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. From Science and Health, and love is reflected in love. Once when the students were gathered at Mrs. Eddy's home, Eldora Gregg saw Mrs. Eddy come down the stairs with her arm around a student who had at times made trouble and acted in a disloyal way. She had even said things against Mrs. Eddy. Later, someone remonstrated with Mrs. Eddy for treating her with such marked consideration and affection by saying, "Don't you know, Mother, what she is saying about you?" Mrs. Eddy replied, "If I were to shut her out, I would close the very door that makes it possible for me to heal her." Number 229. There were other instances where Mrs. Eddy showed her students the efforts of mental malpractice or hatred. A lady whom our leader had healed of consumption and afterwards taught came to Mrs. Eddy 7 years later and told her that the old claim had returned and was worse than ever. Mrs. Eddy told her that it was not the old claim of consumption from which she was suffering, but a law of mental malpractice that Christian Science does not heal, and she must handle it as a law of malpractice and not as a disease. The claim was met. Then those of us who have had the privilege of reading Mr. Bliss Knapp's book about his father and mother will remember that Mrs. Eddy told the students who treated Mrs. Knapp that had they handled malpractice instead of the disease, they would have healed Mrs. Knapp. From Revelation, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Number 230. Judge Ewing was sent by Mrs. Eddy on a lecture tour that took him around the world, giving his lecture, Christian Science, the Religion of Jesus Christ. On his return, he found himself called on to give a lecture in Lynn, Massachusetts. It was a stormy night, and when he got on the platform, he immediately felt he was up against an antagonistic audience, doubtless composed of the then very large active body of spiritualistic sympathizers in that town who were strongly opposed to Christian Science. It seemed useless for him to try to give his regular lecture to such an audience. So, in his usual friendly way of taking an audience into his confidence, Judge Ewing decided the only way was to get nearer to them. He got down from the platform and stood right in front of the audience. He began to talk to them about Lynn, assuring them from his own travel experiences that their town was well known all over the world for its wonderful footwear that for years had been sent out everywhere. After enlarging on this for a while, he gave them the real reason why Lynn would live forever in the hearts and minds of men. It was the place in which Science and Health was written by Mrs. Eddy. Then, allowing Spirit to speak through him, he told in beautiful, sympathetic language of some of Mrs. Eddy's struggles, privations, and difficulties in bringing forth her book, and emphasized that it was her deep love for mankind that enabled her to stand and overcome all that she had to meet. By the time he was through talking about Mrs. Eddy, there was hardly a dry eye in the place. And so he knew that the opposition was broken, and he could deliver his regular lecture on Christian Science. He got back onto the platform and did so. The following morning, he took the first train for Concord, New Hampshire, where he had an appointment with Mrs. Eddy. Immediately, Mrs. Eddy began to thank him for all the things he had said about her the night before, and assured him how true they were. She quoted whole statements he had made, and the judge began to puzzle how she could have gotten hold of them, because he himself had come in on the train that brought the newspapers. So, she could not have read the reports yet, and the phone was not available then. How was she able to repeat his own statements in his own words? Finally, he burst out with, "How do you know what I said?" And Mrs. Eddy replied, "Suppose I told you that I heard you?" From 1 Corinthians, "God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Number 231. Another instance of the way our leader met hate I will share with you. A traveling salesman selling shoes, came to Asheville, North Carolina in 1901. He told me this story. He said that he had not known Mrs. Eddy and knew nothing of her teaching but what he had read in the papers. And these were unfriendly comments by people who derided our dear leader and her work. The man said he hated Mrs. Eddy with a hatred that was insane, for there was no reason for it. He hated her as he had never hated anything or anybody else. One day in 1900, in the late part of the summer, he had a vacation, and being in the neighborhood of Concord, New Hampshire, he decided he would go to Concord and get a look at this woman he hated so. He stood outside of her driveway to see her come out at the hour of her daily drive. He was gloating over the opportunity to satiate his hate. Mrs. Eddy's carriage came towards him. She saw him and greeted him with a gentle bow as she looked deep into his eyes with that searching, lingering look that we all knew, whoever saw her. The man told me that in that moment he felt all baptized in love, such a love as he had never felt before, and could not have believed possible. It was not of earth, but of heaven. Much to his own surprise, he suddenly crumpled up and wept like a child. When he regained his composure, he went back to town, got a copy of Science and Health, began to study it, and was healed of something. I have forgotten just what it was. On page 16 of Message for 1901, line 24, Mrs. Eddy asks, "Shall it be said of this century that its greatest discoverer is a woman to whom men go to mock and go away to pray?" The date of this message to the Mother Church is 1901, and it was in the late summer of 1900 that the traveling salesman, of whom I have just told, saw Mrs. Eddy and was healed of his hate, and later became a Christian Scientist. From Luke. "And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him." Number 232. The following extracts from the diary kept by Calvin Fry tell an interesting story. August 6, 1900. "When Mrs. Eddy was out on the swing this morning, she told me to go and tell Joseph Mann for him and me to constantly hold the thought, the sun will not appear for 3 days and 3 nights, and there will be a constant rain. The clouds will be continually replenished. It is a very hot, sunny day. Suddenly, at 10 o'clock tonight, a severe thunder shower came up with almost a cyclone. We united in that thought, and in less than 5 minutes, the wind, which was filled with water like mist, came down to a gentle breeze. Mother then told me to tell Joseph, no thunder and lightning, but continuous gentle rain. In a few moments, the thunder died away in the distance, and there was a steady, gentle rain. Today, August 7th, there has been a gentle rain most of the day without thunder. Number 233. Mrs. Eddy drove into Concord one day and stopped at the Christian Science Hall. And Mr. Calvin Fry, her secretary, went in with a letter, leaving the carriage door open. A gentleman who was standing in front of the hall had called at Pleasant View earlier in the day to see Mrs. Eddy, but was told that she could not see him, and that an appointment or an opportunity might be arranged later. As he went away from the house, he was very discouraged and said so that a worker heard him, there may not be any later. This man stepped to the carriage, took off his hat, and said, Mrs. Eddy? Mrs. Eddy said, yes. May I ask you a question? Certainly, she said. Then he said, can you tell me about God? Who is he? Where is he? And what is he? Mrs. Eddy told him that God was his mind, his life, and continued talking just 3 minutes. Then the man looked at the clock, which they could both see, and said, I have learned more in these 3 minutes about God than I have in all the rest of my life. He raised his hat and said goodbye, and the carriage drove off. Mrs. Eddy afterwards told her students that she saw he was suffering from jaundice, and that as she talked with him, she saw the unhealthy color fade from his face like the shadow of a cloud vanishing away, and his face became perfectly normal. She added, he was healed, but he did not recognize it while we were talking. Next day, the man wrote he was completely healed and that he took the train home that same night. Number 234. This noon, when Mrs. Eddy was telling of her healing the boy of a carious shin bone, she said, I know that if he died, he would awake to find that he had not that disease, and I wanted to wake him fully to it before he died. Number 235. John Salco in Junction City, who was later a loyal and trusted worker in Mrs. Eddy's home, had an interesting dream about this time involving Mrs. Eddy and a boat he owned. It seemed he was instructed to get his boat ready because Mrs. Eddy wanted to go out in it. But dreamlike, his much enlarged boat was filled with people all vying for positions to see the leader. Dutifully, John was willing to serve and went to the stern cabin to handle the rudder, but found his dutifulness rewarded when the door swung open a few inches and gave him a good view of Mrs. Eddy walking toward the boat with a parcel in her hand. It seemed as if the burden of the whole universe was on her shoulders, and as if she would be crushed before she could take another step. But still she came on, her eyes looking upward and beyond the world. It was the most heart-rending sight I had ever seen. When she had reached the spot where the man had spoken to me, she caught sight of me through the opening in the door. It seemed then as if the whole scene changed. Her burdens fell away, and she came tripping directly to the door of the cabin. Without noticing anyone else, she handed the parcel to me. It was a copy of Science and Health, with the words, "To our faithful boy," and then turned and walked away. At a later date, when John Salco was serving Mrs. Eddy at Pleasant View, he felt that his dream had been fulfilled when she presented him with a copy of Science and Health, inscribed, "To my faithful John," although he had never told her about his dream. From Matthew, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted."